going to ask Andy Falk to come forward. Andy's going to share the word with us today. Andy's and his family have been members here for many years, and we are so thankful for the gifts that God has given him. Andy, thank you, and Lord bless you as you share.
Thank you. Good morning. Well, it's good to be with you. This is a special honor to get to be in your home church and to share the Word of God. And I always appreciate Pastor Kelly when he shares and humbly comes before you and says, you know, that he doesn't know it all and that there are things where he is still learning. And my heart would be the same this morning, that I long and desire to be right and correct in the Word of God. And I hope that that would be true. But I want to humbly also look and say that there still are things that I know God is teaching me and needs to teach me. And so I pray that I would be faithful to his word this morning. It's kind of, I don't usually get a talk in the places that I go, and I get to do some preaching just with different people and different things that I've done. And the last few places I've gone, they've always, it's kind of interesting. They come and they say, well, you know, you can have 15 or 20 minutes to preach the word. And it's like, I appreciate the church, this church, especially for that, because it's not 15 or 20 minutes. And so I look forward to being able to share and truly dig into God's word more than maybe some places get to do that. That doesn't mean that I actually went 15 or 20 minutes. I still went longer. But it's interesting how people sometimes really cherish the word of God and others kind of just take it as part of a sermon and maybe don't understand what they need to. Well, this morning what I want to do is want to look at something that is a very important part of any Christian's life. And we're going to kind of deal with some different things. We're going to be looking in Psalm 119, and if you want to start flipping that way, you can. But I wanted to start out with a story for you this morning. This is a true story. It's a little bit older story, and yet it is one that still rings true for each of us in this day. I want to share the story of a young man or a young boy named Howie Rutledge. Howie Rutledge was when he was growing up, his mom would take him to Sunday school, and he says that he learned many, many Bible verses in his time in Sunday school. And it was a very special time for him as a young boy at that point. But as he grew up, became a teenager and into his college years and even on into his married life, church became unimportant. It was not something that he thought he needed. It wasn't something that he would even go to at all. And it got to the point where there just was nothing there for him. And it was meaningless. Church, the Bible, God, there was nothing for him there. But his attitude changed all the way back in November of 1965 when then Captain Howard Rutledge was shot down over Vietnam and became a prisoner of war in the Hanoi Hilton and other places. And he wrote a book about this, and In the Presence of Mine Enemies. It's an older book, and yet it is a very telling book when you see the tortures, and he describes the tortures that he went through and others, pilots went through, the inhumane treatment that was placed upon him. Amazing to look at that and to see how people can brutally torture and do that to some other human being. But what he really quickly realized was that he needed God. And he needed God in his word. Well, he had no Bible. He was alone. And yet, the word of God was hidden in his heart from when he was a young boy. And he said as he sat in his prison cell, and as he went through torture, and as he went through all the different things that the Vietnamese were throwing at him, words and verses started to come back to him. And what he started to have was his heart was opened up again to the Word of God. He remembered verses that he learned probably 20 years earlier. And they made a special place in his heart, and it helped him to get through his time. Other prisoners that were there also remembered verses. And so even though there a lot of times they were confined separately, they were still able to share through different codes and ways of doing that. They were able to learn many verses and encourage each other in God's Word, even in that horrible time of life. And so, really, for the first time, Howard Rutledge had learned in a very bad position what it means to embrace the Word of God, what it means to cherish God's Word. I hope that we would not have to be placed in a position like that to understand the importance of embracing and cherishing God's Word, that we would recognize and willingly want to come and to learn about those things. He was a prisoner of war for 7 years, and in his book he talks about the fact that he was a prisoner of war for five in solitary confinement. Can you imagine being by yourself for 5 years? And yet he was not alone, because God was with him and God's Word was there for him. Captain Rutledge credits prayer, the Word of God, and the ability to have hope and peace and joy in a horrible time because of his faith that he found. You know, there's something to be said about the Word. There's something in God's Word that is very powerful. And I think so often we miss that. There is something there that is needed daily in our lives. And so this morning what I want to do is I want to kind of look at God's Word. And I really want to dig into this and look at some things that we need to understand about God's Word. Up on the screen you can see just different things that the Bible says about the Word of God. And they are also important that we need to look at and to understand. And Psalm 119 will also deal with this. But if you look up here, we can see that the God's Word reveals eternal life. And I place verses with it, and you can go and look at those as you go on through. But it gives us eternal life. It gives us the hope, the joy, and the peace that only the Word of God can give, that only God, through His Son, Christ, can give. The Word of God is living and active. It's able to judge the hearts and to judge our hearts to see, are we truly being pleasing to God? Are we living, and are we continuing to allow the Word of God to move in us? So often people, I believe, you know, oh, the Bible is just kind of an old book, and they don't understand that Word is alive, that it is active. It can make a huge difference in a life. The Word of God is profitable for teaching, reproof, correcting, and training in righteousness, out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And the reason why it is so important that it is profitable is because it equips the man of God or the woman of God to do what God needs done. It is a lamp to our feet. It's the light to our path. We see that in Psalm 119. The Word of God has been tested. It's tried. It's proved. And it is a good thing. It is the method of bringing faith to the unsaved. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 talks about that. It is the Word of truth. It is the truth. And we need to handle the Word of truth very accurately. There's so many people today that will not handle accurately the Word of truth. Very sad state. Very upsetting when, as Christians, we see that taking place. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 talks about that. We need to make sure that we obey God's Word. We need to do what it says, James 1:22. We need to long for it. In 1 Peter, we see that just as a baby longs for milk, we need to long for the Word of God as well. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to look at Psalm 119, because Psalm 119, if you go and look at the Psalm, you see what the psalmist says about the Word of God. And the questions that I would ask, and I want you to kind of think through this morning, is how do you treat the Word of God? Do you truly cherish it? Is it just kind of another book? Is it just kind of something that, yeah, I kind of look at sometimes, and other times it's not that big of a deal? Is it important to you? What is your attitude towards God's Word? As I stand up here, I wish I could say that I always do this justice, and I know that I don't. But I praise God for His mercy, for His grace, and for His patience. And we'll even see that in the psalmist, in his words this morning. I would share with you that this is kind of a no-duh sermon. You know, you've probably heard it many times, and it can kind of be a basic thought, but it is something I believe truly needs to be encouraged constantly. We need to be reminded over and over again of the importance of God's Word and be encouraged to be in it, to see God's Word and what it can do for us. Well, if you look at Psalm 119 as we get ready to read, it is the longest chapter in the Bible, for those of you that are Bible trivia people. It is divided in 22 parts, and each part is an alphabet letter from the Hebrew alphabet. And so what you get is each part contains 8 verses. And the first letter of each verse begins with the Hebrew letter of that section. And so it's some interesting little trivia pieces to look at. Probably the reason why they did that is so that when the people were learning these, they would have kind of a easy way to remember how to learn it. Well, we're going to look specifically at the first 16 verses, and we're not going to read all of those, but we are going to read the first the first 8 verses together this morning. And we want to see what God's Word, or see how God's Word is exalted. You're going to see that in these scriptures here. You're going to see how the psalmist dwells upon God's Word, how it dominates his life. If you read all of chapter 119, what you'll find is that he says throughout it, in the morning he reads God's Word, in the noontime, at nighttime, 7 times daily he reads God's Word. That is the heart of a man that is committed to learning the book. That is the heart that we need to have as well. We're going to see the heart of a person who understands that God's Word is good for him, and it's good for us as well. Well, this morning we're going to read, as I said, verses 1 through 8 of chapter 119 in Psalm. And if you are able, I would appreciate it if you would stand in reverence for the scriptures. And let's read the word of the Lord. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness, they walk in his ways. Thou hast ordained thy precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all thy commandments. I shall give thanks to thee with uprightness of heart when I learn thy righteous judgments. I shall keep thy statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. Let's bow in prayer. Almighty God, as we come into a time of looking into your scriptures, at looking into truth that can change our life, that can encourage us, that makes a difference, my prayer is that you would help each of our hearts to be open, to hear what you would want us to hear, to be changed, not so that it would bring us glory, but that it would bring you and Jesus Christ glory, and that we would be about what you would want us to be about. Father, may you bless this time this morning. May you guide my words. I would ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, if you read into Psalm chapter 119, and in the first 16 verses, we're going to see two different things. We're going to look at and see a reward for being a person of the Word, a man or a woman of the Word. We're also going to see responses that Christian people, that followers of Jesus Christ, the followers of God, need to have towards His Word, and the differences that that will make. And so we're going to start by looking at the rewards, and honestly, if you look at this, it almost should be maybe reward instead of rewards, because we're going to see that pretty much there is one reward if we are obedient and if we're following God's Word and striving to learn it in our life. But we're going to see the rewards of obeying God's Word and then the responses towards it. The reward is found in verse 1 and 2. And what you can see there is a person who's going to follow God's Word is going to be blessed. Blessed. Blessedness. What more could we want? And we're going to look at this a little bit because I think it's important to understand. We hear the word blessed a lot of times. You'll hear people say, oh, you know, I've been blessed. And we need to go back and look at this. And so when you look at this, even though it's in the Old Testament, I think we need to look at it in a New Testament understanding. Not that there's a whole lot of difference between the two of them, but we would have differences a little bit as far as what we would understand about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us compared to what the psalmist would have had at this time of the writing. But what does it mean to be blessed? I want to give you two different thoughts there. The first one is that when we are blessed, we have been indwelt with God. That we have God's nature in us, that the kingdom of God is within us as well. That there is a difference, that we are different than the rest of this world. That we have been indwelt there. Another part of being blessed is that we are fully satisfied. Not a little bit, not 90%, but fully satisfied. We're not satisfied because of life's circumstances though. We're satisfied fully because of Christ's work on the cross and because of what God has done by allowing His Holy Spirit to be within us because we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know, this morning we were singing the song It Is Well by Horatio G. Spafford. And if you know the story of the song at all, Horatio G. Spafford lost his family members on a ship that was going from America over to England. And as he was going across to comfort his wife who had survived, he pinned the words to that song at the place where his family had died. That he was able to say, it doesn't matter that they're gone. It's hard, but it's still well with my soul. He was completely satisfied, even in the hard times, that life circumstances did not make him become something else. And so that is what we need to understand, that when we are blessed, we have that as well. It is more than just happiness. There's many people in this world that would say that they're happy. They probably look happy, and maybe they are happy, but that can change very quickly. Only Christians are blessed. And I think that that is important. And if you are a Christian here this morning, you need to hold on to that and be encouraged by that. I'm blessed, not just happy, not just satisfied, but I am blessed, completely satisfied. Well, the question I would ask going on with that is, are you blessed? Are you blessed? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ and confessed Him as your Lord and Savior? Have you, and are you knowing that your sins have been forgiven and removed from you because of His death on the cross and His resurrection? Do you truly cling to the hope, the life, the peace, and the joy that God can give and only God can give? If you are, then you are blessed, not because of what you have done, but because of what God has done through His Son, Jesus Christ. As we look at blessings in our time and in our world, there's a lot of things that we have to be careful of. And I want to just share with you a couple thoughts here real quick. I teach at Nebraska Christian School down in Central City, and we actually just had a man by the name of Justin Peters come in. We had a spiritual emphasis day, and he was talking about being discerning. And he was sharing a lot of different things about how what you see on TV so often that you would consider to be the religious people and these pastors are very, very not what they seem. And he was talking and sharing different videos and looking at clips and looking at statements that a lot of these men have made in the last few years. And what you find and what is pretty obvious is there's many preachers today, whether they're on TV or whether they're out in the nation or in the world, there are many preachers today that want to say blessing means that if you're blessed, you have health and you have wealth, the prosperity gospel. And that is very far from the truth. God never promises in His scriptures anything about the fact that we're going to be blessed with health and with wealth. And if you really deal with it and you go back and you look at scriptures, you see very quickly it's not that way. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is talking and He talks about the fact that there's going to be a hard road for His disciples to follow. That you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be pulled in before rulers. And they're not going to like you. And you're going to be persecuted for your faith. John 15:18 talks about the fact, again, Jesus says, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. And you've got to be ready for that because it's coming. 2 Timothy 3:12, very interesting verse. Paul tells Timothy, if anybody who desires to live a godly life will be persecuted, not maybe, will be persecuted. So can God bless with wealth and with health? Yes. Is that wrong? No, it's not. But when all we get, or when somebody is just preaching that, hey, you know, if you do this, you're going to become wealthy, you're going to get all the health you want, you're going to have prosperity, that is false teaching. This is not guaranteed. We're not necessarily going to have wealth and health, but we have something better. Other examples you could look at would be Paul. You know, in the Bible, Paul talks about the fact that he says, there was a thorn in my side. I prayed to God that God would remove it. God said, I'm not going to take it away. I'm not going to give you what you want, because then you don't have to rely upon me like you need to. The church in Jerusalem, again, Paul was taking an offering from the churches of Asia to them because they were not wealthy. They needed money. They were very downtrodden at that point. So it goes against what Scripture would say. We need to be careful of it. And so we need to be aware that blessedness is not worldly standings here, but it is something more. It is not a worldly blessing, but it is a blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a blessing of the one true God, the creator of this universe, that can do all things, that can save us from our sin and have us be with Him forever in heaven. Examples of blessings or blessed people or examples of blessed people that you can look at in the scriptures would be Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that doesn't sit in the seat of mockers and stand in the place of sinners and those kinds of things. 2:12 talks about that, that the people that take refuge in God are going to be blessed. Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. Blessed are those. And we go through and we see Jesus lists out how are people blessed. And it's about understanding the sinfulness of man. It's about understanding that we need something different. But there is blessing. It's not the worldly way that people want to look at it, though. It is something different. As I was preparing for this in Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2, there's two different there's the same word blessed twice. And looking and just reading through one of the commentaries, I thought was an important concept that this is a double blessing. It's not just that you're blessed, but you're doubly blessed. And verse 1 and 2 go through and look at that. So we come to the reward is blessed, that we are blessed. We are fully satisfied, not because of us, but because of understanding that God is with us and in us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through His Holy Spirit. But we need to also look at what are the responses of the blessed. That's our reward. We're blessed. So what are the responses that we need to come back to? Because if we are blessed, then we need to respond correctly. And so that's what I want to do, and this is where we get into the rest of the Psalms that we're going to be looking at today. There is a list of responses that we as Christian people need to have. That if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm going to respond to God's Word in these ways, and it will make a difference in how I live. And so we want to look at this and deal with this. The first one would not necessarily be up here on the screen, but the response of the blessed is understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of your life. That you're going to live for Him, that you're going to be conformed to His image. That is a response to the blessing. And the rest of these kind of fit underneath this, this kind of main thought about Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior and wanting to live for Him. But I want you to look and I want you to see really the heart of the psalmist, the writer of this, because this is the heart that we need to have. This is the heart that we need to be reminded of in ourselves daily. These are the important things for us to deal with. And so if you look up here, the first one, what is the response that we need? Our way is blameless. That is going to be a response when we really are blessed, when we understand that we are a follower of Jesus Christ. When you see the words, verse 1 here, how blessed are those whose way is blameless. What we see here is it's our way of life is blameless, that we have integrity. That we're not just going to go through and do whatever. We're not just going to kind of look good on the outside, but we truly are different than the world. That what you see in public is what you see in private. There's no difference between a person that is blameless in the public eye or in the private eye. And that is not that we're perfect. We are going to sin. We're not going to be completely blameless, but that is what we're striving for as we go through our life. Our next one we see, as you also see in verse 1, who walk in the law of the Lord. A person that is going to be blessed, that is a Christian, is going to walk in God's law. That it's going to be a habitual pattern of living. That it's not going to be that, you know, sometimes we do it and other times we don't. We don't have one foot on the narrow path and one foot on the wide path. That we are truly striving to live with a habit of being pleasing to God. If you go on and look, verse 2, how blessed are those who observe His testimonies. That we watch intently and know them, that we obey God's testimonies, that we're not just kind of knowing them in our head, but our heart has them down as well. At the end of verse 2, you also see people that are blessed, that are Christian, their response will be that they will seek God, Jesus Christ, with all their heart. You will see this kind of thought throughout Psalm 119. Over in verse 10, you also see this thought that with all my heart, I have sought thee. And we see and need to understand what is the heart? What is the heart of man? And maybe you've heard this before. The heart is the innermost part of the man. It is the part that is not just the physical, but definitely the spiritual aspect, that it is God, the deepest part of me wants to serve you. The deepest part of me, I want to conform that part to Christ. My innermost desires are going to be this way. Jesus talks about the heart, and when he talks about it, he says this, your words that you speak, the thoughts that you have, the actions that you do will convey your heart. So I would ask you this morning, what does your heart right now reveal about you? What does your heart reveal about your commitment to God's Word? Do you truly seek God with all your heart? Or are the thoughts that are in your mind constantly the things that should not be there? Are the things that you're seeing or the things that you're saying constantly not what would be pleasing to God? Are your actions not pleasing to God? Because that reveals the heart of a person. That reveals your innermost part. Again, we're not going to be perfect, but are we striving for our heart to be seeking after God? Or are we, again, kind of going through the motions? If you go on, you see also verse 3, that a person who is wanting to respond correctly to God's word and to God is not going to do unrighteousness. They also are not going to walk, or they're going to walk in God's ways. Walking in a way is a pattern of daily living. It's again that pattern that you constantly see over and over again. As I said before, this is narrow gate living. This is the few that find it. This is the few that find the salvation are going to live this way. This is the response of those kinds of people. You'll notice in these first three verses a bunch of action words. And I think that this is really important to look at and to understand as well. We must be purposeful in our daily walk. It is not good enough to sit back and say, okay, you know, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm going to be blessed, and now I just sit back and kind of twiddle my thumbs and say, all right, now what? But it is me initiating, impacting, influencing not only my life, but my family's life, not only my family's life, but people around me, my friends' lives, impacting them that with my actions, with what I'm about, that I am walking, that I am observing, that I am seeking God, that I am doing no unrighteousness. I must be purposeful in that. See, God's word impacts and influences us in this endeavor. And the more that I want to be blessed, the more I'm going to want to be obedient. The more that I am obedient, the more I'm going to be blessed. Well, if we move on to verses 4 through 8, we can see other responses of the blessed, the people that truly are striving and seeking God with all their heart. And what are the responses that you're going to have? What kinds of things are you going to do towards God's word? And we can see this here in these next 4 or 5 verses. In verse 4, it says, "Thou hast ordained thy precepts that we should keep them diligently." Now, I like to go back and I like to look at words, and I'm not a scholar in the Hebrew, but I still like to go back and do my best to understand what the Hebrew is. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that I've got it all figured out, but I truly try to be faithful to the word. When you look at the word ordained here, another word you could put in there maybe is commanded or charged. That what we see here is that God has charged us with his precepts. He has commanded us in his precepts. And so a couple different places you can go or look. First one would be Deuteronomy 4:13. There God is talking to the Israelites about the Ten Commandments, and he commands them to perform the Ten Commandments. That is what the Bible says there. To perform means to observe them, to be obedient towards them. It's kind of the same thought that we have here, that God has commanded us in his precepts that we are to follow them, that we are supposed to be about these things. Many don't like that. Many don't want to be commanded. Many don't want God to say, you know, you can do this or can't do this. And so they come back with a rebellious thought that, you know, don't tell me what to do. I'll do whatever I want to do. We see this in the world today. We see it over and over again in the world. And this world is becoming more and more vocal and anti-Christian with the things we're seeing. You can look at the homosexual agenda. And it's gotten to the point now where even if you want to say something about the homosexual agenda, people are going to say, you can't tell me what to do anymore. It's been that way, but it seems like they're becoming more emboldened and willing to state that more publicly now. But one of the things that we need to understand, God's word protects us if we will obey. And I think that so many people, again, with that rejection and rebellion against God, they're not going to do that. But God is looking out for our benefit. There are reasons why he says these are the things that you should not be about. And if you will obey them, you're going to be blessed because you're not falling into the different consequences for sin. We need to make sure that we understand that God is looking out for us. He's not trying to cause us to be crushed underneath just his authority. As you go on in this verse, thou hast ordained thy precepts that we should keep them diligently. If you look at the word keep and go back, keeping is more than just being obedient to God's word. It's paying special attention to, it's guarding God's word. You know, as I looked at that and really thought about that, how often do we as Christians not guard the word of God? It's pretty easy to, when you see somebody stand up and maybe say something that would not be according to God's word, we hear it and we maybe say, yeah, you know, that's not right. But we don't truly stand up and guard it. Do we protect it? Do we say, listen, what you said is completely incorrect. That's not what God's word says. I think a great example, again, is with the issues of our world today and our nation, that we have so many sinful, immoral issues coming up, and everybody is saying, leave it alone, don't say anything about that. If you do, you're wrong, you're being intolerant, you're not being loving. You know, they throw all those words at Christian people when they want to stand up for the truth. And we as Christians are not guarding like we need to. I think it's, as I just prepared this, it's a challenge to me. Am I really guarding the Word of God? I can't change people's minds, but I can sure guard His Word. I can stand up and say what needs to be said. You know, I think of Ron Brown, Coach Ron Brown, and what he went through last year with him going before the city council and saying that homosexuality was wrong, almost getting fired, and everybody was up in arms about it. But he was willing to guard the Word of God. He was willing to do what all Christians should be doing. We need to step up. We need to guard it. God has commanded us to follow His precepts, but we also need to guard it, not only in our life, but we need to make sure that we are doing our best to vocalize that to others as well. And I like this at the end of verse 4. You see that, how are we supposed to guard God's word? We're supposed to guard it diligently. It's, again, an action word. It's not just sitting back and saying, okay, yeah, I know they're wrong and that's okay. They can believe their stuff and I'll believe my stuff. But it's diligently guarding God's word, keeping His word. So keeping it in my life diligently, but also then sharing that with others when there is the immoral issues that come out. Going on in verse 5, what you see, another response that we see here is, we see the heart's desire in verse 5. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep thy statutes. You see the psalmist's heart's desire, it's a quick prayer. Is it your prayer as well? That God establish my ways. The Bible always talks about God being the rock that we can stand upon. And the wise man built his house upon the rock. The rains came and nothing could blow it down. God is our rock. God, we want to be established in your ways. And is that your prayer this morning? Is that your prayer throughout the week? That I would stay established in my ways. This is a process that does not happen overnight. It is consistently walking and living out the Word of God. It is something that you train yourself in. It's patterns that are formed over many days and many years. They are formed and they are strengthened. We can form and strengthen our patterns of living because we're in God's Word and we know what it's saying. The foundation is the rock, which is God. He is solid. He will not be moved. So what you see in verse 4 and 5 is we need to keep the statutes and the precepts. How do we do that? How do we guard the statutes and the precepts? And I think one of the things that you can do is you can jump ahead in Psalm 119 and you can look at verses 9 through 11 because you see a few things there that I think can help us. The first thing I would say is that there is prayer. And even in verse 5 when the psalmist just kind of utters a really quick prayer, God, help me to that my ways will be established. We need to pray that too. So we need to be in prayer about these things. But how do I keep God's precepts and His statutes? Another thing you find in verse 9 through 11 there. Verse 10 again. I've sought with all my whole heart you. I've sought you, Lord. I want to seek you. I want my innermost being to be about you. And verse 11 then, internalizing the Word of God, memorizing the Bible. If I want to learn the precepts, if I want to be strengthened, I need to be about those things. Today in our society, memorization seems like it's going away. People don't want to memorize. We don't memorize like we need to. And yet that is something that can help us to stay strong in God's precepts. If you look at verses 9 and 11 just a little bit more, the psalmist goes, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can we stay pure? We obey God's word. We have to be in God's word to know it. We have to be in God's word so we can be reminded of that. Verse 10, with all my heart, again, the innermost part of me desires obedience. I want to seek. I want to be working towards that obedience. I like in verse 10, because this is something that we all deal with, that the psalmist recognizes that even though my heart is wanting to be focused upon you, that sometimes I'm going to wander. I'm going to wander away. I think of the great hymn, Come Thou Fount, where it talks about, bind my wandering heart to you, Lord. That so often my heart wants to go off and do a sinful thing, and I need you to keep it bound together. Help me to be reminded of that. That's kind of the thought here. Don't let me wander from thy commandments, God. Another prayer. God, help me to stay away from the temptations and the sin that is out here. Help me to be and to desire your scripture, to desire your influence and power. Help me to recognize that sin is not eliminated, but even though sin's not eliminated, I don't want to walk down that path. I want to stay where you want me to be. I'm still going to wander. I know that I'm going to sin, but help me not to wander very far, and help me not to wander very frequently. The more that we are in God's Word, the more conformed to Christ we will be, the more that we will be able to defeat sin and resist Satan. When sin wants to creep in, what's the best defense? Memorization of Scripture. And you see the power of that, even as the POWs that I mentioned before in Vietnam, you know, they were dealing with sinful things, I'm sure, but they were dealing with a lot more, but they had internalized that Scripture, and it was able to come back and make a difference in their life. Well, if you go on to verse 6, whoops, leave it there for a little bit. In verse 6, what you see is it says, then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all thy commandments. If your way is established, and this goes back all the way up a little bit farther, but when our ways are established is in verse 5, then we are not ashamed. And I thought that was kind of interesting, and so I wanted to look at that. What is the psalmist ashamed of, or what is he saying that he could maybe be ashamed of? What is this? Well, I think in general, it's sin. That he's saying, God, don't let me, you know, don't establish me. I don't want to sin against you. It's sin in general, but I think also, maybe even more specifically, is he's looking at, I don't want to sin against your word. I don't want to disobey your word. You see a great picture of the psalmist's heart. He desires holiness, but when he does sin, you see a proper response from a person that is righteous, from a Christian. You see shame. You see shame. What response do you have to your sin? What response do you have towards your sin? You know, it's interesting, if you ever want to do an interesting study, go through and look at the scriptures and look at people, at men and women that have committed sin, and see how they respond back. I find it to be very interesting and fascinating that you see a lot of different responses to sin. So I want to share just a couple of these with you real quick here. The first one, what response do you have towards sin? Look at Adam. Adam and Eve, all the way back in the garden, chapter 3, when Adam and Eve eat of the fruit, and God comes down and confronts Adam, what does Adam do in response to his sin? Is he shamed? Not really. He's scared, but what does he do? He blames somebody else. That's a response that we see a lot of times with sin. He blames not only Eve, he also blames God. He says, you know, the woman that you gave me, God, is your fault. We see the blame placed upon others. What response is another response to sin? Cain. When Cain kills his brother and God confronts him and God punishes him and says, you're going to leave and you're not going to be able to, live in the garden. You're going to have, or not live in the garden, but not live here. You're going to have to go out into a different area. Cain's complaint is, this is too harsh. My sin is bad, but it's not this bad, God. You can't do this to me. This isn't right. This isn't fair. How often do we do that? Is that our attitude towards sin, our response towards it? You see in King Saul, in 1 Samuel, when King Saul is waiting for Samuel to show up, Samuel doesn't do that, so he does his own sacrifice. And when Samuel comes and he says, what have you done? And Saul says, well, you know, he starts making excuses. Well, I didn't think that they would stick around if I didn't do this. And he starts to blame other people. He makes excuses. You see David, a man after God's own heart, that spends a year without confessing the sin of murdering Uriah, of taking Bathsheba as a wife, of committing adultery with her. It takes a year, around a year, before he will confess. And it's not him willing to confess. God sends a prophet, Nathan, to have him and confronts him so that he will confess. That's not a proper response either. What you see is in Psalm 119, you see the proper response. There is shame when sin comes into our life. There is godly sorrow when I sin. Do you have godly sorrow? Do you have shame when that takes place? Two places I would go and look. One is Isaiah chapter 6 with Isaiah, when Isaiah has the vision of heaven and he sees God in his throne. And his response is, when he recognizes how sinful he is, he says, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm ruined. I'm ruined because of my sin." That he recognizes how unholy he is when he's placed next to the holy God. Paul, also in Romans chapter 7, I think has the proper response. "What a wretched man I am. What a wretched man I am because of my sin." Are we willing to respond correctly to sin in our life? Do we have that godly sorrow? Are we willing to confess and repent? God's word reveals our sin. God's word reveals that. That's why we need to be in it. So that as I am established in God's ways, I will not be ashamed, because I know his word and I want to keep it. Well, as we go on, verse 7, we see here, he says, "I shall give thanks to thee with uprightness of heart when I learn thy righteous judgments." And so Scripture provokes, and this is another response, Scripture provokes thankfulness and praise, all right? That we can be thankful to God for his word, that we can learn it, we can memorize, we can know and live it out, that God's word reflects his character, and we want to have thankfulness as we're in that situation. And then verse 8 I want to share with you, and I find this to be an amazing verse, that the psalmist goes and he says, "I shall keep thy statutes." You see right off the bat that he says, "God, this is my desire. This is my heart, that I am determined to keep your statutes, to keep your laws." But then he adds something else unto the end of verse 8. And he says this. He says, "Do not forsake me utterly." Now, you see a heart of a man that has been working and saying, "God, this is what I want to do. I want to respond correctly. I want to respond and be thankful, and I want to be, solid in my faith, and I want to be all these things." But then he comes and says, "God, don't reject me. Don't forsake me utterly." Why would he say that here? And this is something that I struggle with a little bit, because, you know, why would you say this, and what's the understanding, and how do we need to understand this? Well, I think what I would say is this, from looking and praying through this. The psalmist knows that he is a sinner, so that this is another prayer that he offers up in the midst of his writing, that he says, "God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that there could be times that I'm going to do things that might pull me away from you. And in those times, I would pray that you would not let me get too far away from you, that your grace would come on, that I would recognize your grace and come back and have that and restore that proper relationship with you." In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, we see that God says in New Testament, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We know God's not going to abandon his children. But that doesn't mean that when we sin, when we try to do things on our own, and maybe when we reject God's calling and God's word, that he can permit us to go through diversity. He can permit us to be pulled into things that will make us feel like, wait a second, God's not really here. I'm going and I'm having to struggle because of the sin that I find myself in. And I believe that what you see here is the prayer that says, "God, don't let me stay there. Don't let me stay in that spot. My heart is to be 100% obedient. My heart is to be that I want to be focused upon you and your ways and not upon my sinfulness. I don't want to rebel. I don't want to be found in that state of rebellion. Don't forsake me. And if I go there, bring me back very quickly." He's determined to stay where he needs to be. I think you see God's grace there. That this psalmist and we need to recognize God's grace. That God, I would be utterly lost and I would stay in my sin except for your grace and bringing me back. Aren't you thankful for God's patience, his grace and his mercy? I know I sure am. Well, let's finish this up. Verse 12. If we look at verse 12 here. "Blessed art thou, O Lord." So now it's not the blessing for us, but we have the ability and should desire to bless God with what we're about. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." I desire, and the psalmist here, I believe, desires to bless God, to respond to his word with praise. And you see the desire as well to be taught by God, that the psalmist wants God to instruct him. He's humbling himself and saying, "God, teach me what you need to teach me." You see this later on in verse 102 as well, that he talks about the fact that God has taught him his ways. In verse 13, another response that we will have if we have God's Word within us is, I should flip my screen, there we go, to share and proclaim God's Word. But we need to share God's Word correctly. In verse 13, with my lips I have told of all the ordinances of thy mouth. God, I'm proclaiming, not only am I only taking it for myself, but I'm proclaiming it and sharing God's Word with other people. Romans 10:17 talks about the fact that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ, that if we are about and wanting to be a steward of God's Word and wanting to respond correctly, that we will share God's Word with others. It kind of goes back to guarding the Scriptures. Not that we just know it, but that we portray, we project it out, we share it with other people. This is what we see here. My response is because of your word, with my lips, I will proclaim it to other people. In verse 14, you see a rejoicing in God's word. I rejoice in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. That God's word is better than anything else in this world. It is good for you. And the psalmist recognizes that. It's amazing to understand and to believe in God's word. You know, and honestly, when you start to believe God's word and you believe his Bible 100%, it all fits. Everything in life makes sense. But when we start to doubt or deny a part of it, it won't fit. It doesn't make sense completely. And you see that again in the world. The world, most of them have rejected the Word of God. Some want to take parts of the Word of God and not other parts. It doesn't work. But the whole Word of God works perfectly, and it all fits together. In verse 15, we see meditation. I will meditate on thy precepts. Another response we need to have is to spend time thinking through God's Word, reflecting on his truth. In Psalm 1:2, what you see is the man that is blessed meditates day and night, constantly being in meditation on God's Word. That is a proper response. And then verse 16, I shall delight in thy statutes, I shall not forget thy word. When the relationship is right, it is a delight. God, I want to spend time in your word. Not, I don't need to spend time. Well, I need to spend time, but I also want to spend time. There's a difference there, an attitude, that it should not be a drudgery. I got to go and read my Bible today. But it's a delight. I can hardly wait to get into God's word and see what he's going to teach me. What is he going to bring out today that will make a difference in my life? What is in there? And you see this with, again, the writer, that I shall delight in this. I shall delight in these things, that I will not forget the word. Pastor Kelly, on Wednesday of this past week, came to Nebraska Christian, and he did the service there. We have a chapel service every Wednesday morning. And he made a very interesting comment that I think applies here as well. He was talking about the gospel message, and he said this: many people are inoculated to the gospel, that they've gotten kind of a little bit of it, and so, you know, they think they know it pretty well, and so they've almost become immune to it. I think that that can be said about the Word of God as well. Many people have been inoculated to the Word of God, that we kind of get a little bit of it, we kind of have an idea of what it says, and we almost become immune to it affecting our life and changing our life daily. That we kind of say, yeah, I think I got enough of it, I don't need any more. May we not be that way. May we not become immune to God's Word. May we read the Bible for all it's worth and with our heart desperately seek out and find the truth that is there. Pretty much the response of the blessed. How do you respond? Are you growing in God's Word? Is God's Word making a difference? Is it vital in your life? Or is it just something that is kind of there sometimes? Other days, it's not so much of a big thing. The response of a blessed person, the response of one that is seeking God will be, I need to be in here. I need to be in it daily. I need to understand God's Word, and I want to grow. And I don't want to just read it because I need to read it. I want to read it and get what is in there, what is important. I need to study it. And you see that with the psalmist here. God, don't let me just kind of go through the motion. Help it be the most important thing of my day. Help it make a difference in my day. You know, the more you understand about God's grace and mercy, the more you're going to be in his word. I'll say that again. The more you understand God's grace and mercy, the things that he has done for you, for me, for all of us, the more I want to be in His Word. Because I want to respond correctly to Him and His Word. Your attitude will determine your response. You see the response of a man in Psalm that truly wants God's Word to make a difference. May that be our heart as well. Let's bow with prayer. Lord God, I want to thank You for the Word. I thank You for the psalmist and the heart that so eloquently shares what our heart needs to be. Lord, You know we are far from perfect. You know that we sin, that there are days when we don't and aren't obedient to Your Word. My prayer is that You would help us to confess our sin, to repent when we find ourselves in those positions, and to regain the right attitude. That You would help us to understand that we are blessed, but that our responses need to reflect how blessed we are. God, may You continue to guide us as we walk along this pathway that is called life, that we would be people of Your Word, that we would be striving to take every letter of Your Word, Your Bible, and apply it to our life. God, may You bless us as we leave from here this morning. I would pray all this in Your Son, Jesus Christ's blessed name. Amen.